talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by the Little River Band, Reminiscing. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with John Goodwin, general contractor with Stono Construction, and also Brian Wilkinson with Art of Drawers, and that's a very interesting interview about how you can retrofit your kitchen cabinetry, the vanity in your bathroom with some pull-out drawers and so forth to make your home more efficient. But joining us now is account manager Ashley Rowell to talk about some of this week's weekly specials. How you doing, Ashley?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Tim?
Pretty good, pretty good. Have you ever heard of Yacht Rock?
Yacht Rock. Is it where a bunch of boats pull up and listen to a concert on the water?
You know, that would be a good guess. I heard about it. There was a documentary on Netflix about Yacht Rock, and it sounded kind of neat, you know. I like the alliteration there, and so I listened on Spotify to I tuned in Yacht Rock, and turns out Yacht Rock is a lot of kind of wimpy 70s and 80s music, which I'm not a big fan of, but myself, I like the name Yacht Rock, and so I thought we'd maybe in the summertime we'd use that as a theme for some of our home theme songs throughout the month of July. But anyways, Yacht Rock.
Yeah.
So what are some of the specials that homeowners can take advantage of by visiting charlestonhomeanddesign.com?
That's correct. You should visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com and sign up for our e-newsletter. We send out the newsletter weekly every Thursday, and this week it features some sales from Brownswood Nursery and Landscape. They are doing a pollinator pleaser sale, and Vitex trees and butterfly bushes are 30% off till the end of July. Stephen Shell Living is having a summer sale, 25% off bedroom and dining furniture. J&K, another furniture store over off of Long Point Road, is doing a anniversary sale and 30 to 70% off store-wide, so you definitely don't want to miss that. And then with it being a really hot season in Charleston, Fix It 24/7 is offering free second opinions and estimates always, so you can visit Fix My home247.com to take them up on that offer.
Are they still doing that $39 cleaning special as well?
That I have no idea. This is just that.
I think they are. And you know, I used to not be a believer in getting your HVAC systems cleaned in the spring before the hot weather, and then in the fall before the cold weather. But I definitely am a believer now, because It does help extend the life of your equipment, and the fact that Fix-It 24/7 can come out and for $39 clean your each of your condensers. It's pretty darn cheap, and you should definitely take advantage of that for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a game changer, because even though it's working now, it might not work in the winter, and you need it working in every season.
Exactly. All right, great. And you don't have to, we love for you to tune in to Talking About Home each week, but if you want to get these different specials emailed to you, how can people sign up for that?
So people can sign up on page 62 of our latest issue. There's a QR code that they can scan and sign up that way, or they can visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com and sign up there on the subscribe tab.
And you'll get our newsletter emailed to you, and also our the edit.
So the edit comes out on Wednesday, and it's just a short little chunk of what is currently in our latest issues.
A lot of great reasons to visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. And now we're talking with John Goodwin with Stono Construction. How are you doing, John?
Doing great.
Good. John, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Stono Construction.
Yeah, absolutely. So Stono Construction started the company in 2016. We've been in business now coming up on 10 years, and we've been building, we're a small company. We've been building a few custom homes a year and a handful of kind of large remodeling and addition projects a year. We intend to stay small. We're not trying to grow into a big company. We want to keep it manageable and make sure that we're, working with the people we want to work with, good clients, and we have a great trade base, and we want to keep it manageable in that regard.
Right, that's very important in terms of matching a homeowner matching up with the right builder. And just as they are interviewing you, maybe not formally, but when they're having discussions with you and so forth, they're sort of evaluating your personality and what you say and so forth. And by the same token, you are evaluating the homeowner as well, just to see if it's going to be a good match, right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's so important that it's a good match. And it's going to end up being a long relationship, whether it's, building a new home, which, from the kind of planning phase to completion can be years in some instances. And, and in some cases, large remodeling and addition projects can be that long as well. But, either way, it's going to be a long relationship, and there's going to be a lot of interaction, and you got to make sure that the personalities match and that everything is going to fit well together, because it's as you know building it can be stressful. A lot of decisions have to be made and in a timely manner, and there's things that happen along the way, and things sometimes don't go as planned, and you got to make sure that everybody can understand that and respond in the right manner and ultimately get to the end of the project and have the homeowner's goals met, and that they've got a quality home that was built on budget and in a timely manner, and that everybody can walk away with a smile on their face
and have no regrets.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's true. What would you say are some good questions that homeowners should ask a builder or remodeling contractor when they're considering hiring those folks?
Yeah. So, we get calls from clients that are kind of at different stages of the planning part of the project. Some call in and are like, hey, we just have this idea. We're thinking about doing this addition on our house. We've done no research really, other than we know we need some more space. We know we want to stay where we are. We love our neighborhood. We love our friends. We love the schools. But we just need more space. And some come in where they've started, they've engaged a designer, whether it be an architect or just a CAD draftsman, to kind of start putting some of those thoughts on paper. And some come with, you know, hey, we've got an architect, we've got the plans, we've got the engineering, we've got an interior designer, and we're ready to go. We just need to get you involved in some pricing. So depending on what stage they kind of, they call in, you know, we want to make sure that they have engaged a designer, an architect, because that's really the first step, other than kind of having an idea of what you want. And so if you haven't engaged one, we kind of, we ask some different questions and kind of try to understand what their priorities and goals are of the project. If it's new construction, it's a little bit different, but if it's, you know, adding on to or remodeling an existing home, then we, you know, we kind of ask other questions. And, you know, what do you like? What do you like about your home right now? What do you dislike about it? What do you like about other, you know, your friends' homes, your family's homes that you've seen and you like? And so, you know, the conversation can change a little bit based on some of those answers. But, you know, we try to, in general, get an idea of what their goals are, because ultimately, you know, we want to make sure that they're thinking this through of what they need out of the home eventually.
Gotcha.
You know, so maybe it's a it's a, you know, home that they're going to live in for the rest of their life, and that's their goal. And maybe it's a home that they plan only to be in for 5 or 10 years and move on. And so, you know, there's different considerations depending on your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are kind of the initial conversations, just so we get an idea of kind of where their head is at from a 10,000 foot view, essentially. And then, you know, based on whether they have a design or not, we can help them. And we're not a design build firm, so we don't do the design in house. But we certainly work with a lot of great designers and architects in the area, and kind of based on some of their answers, we can maybe recommend some good ones if they don't have one. And so, you know, other things that are really important that a lot of people overlook initially, particularly if they don't already have an architect engaged who's done some of this, because most architects will already do this legwork, because it's really kind of step one in the process, is, you know, making sure if you're adding to the footprint of your home, whether it's new construction or you know, an addition, that you are, you know, you've checked with some of the regulations for your property, the zoning. Is it in a flood zone? What tree regulations may come into play? What utilities are there or not there, and what could be there? You know, ever you going to be able to use public water, private well, private sewer, septic, things like that. Things like building coverage, the amount of building coverage on the lot, building height, easements, all of those things are things you need to know up front, because they will in some cases dictate what can and can't be done, or what you want to be done to the property.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, that's very good advice for homeowners. And I remember talking to a builder a long time ago who was always surprised that homeowners seem to spend invest more time researching a vehicle than they are researching the builder, who is, you know, if you're building a new home, you're talking about a 9 to 15-month timetable where you're going to be basically married to that builder for that period of time, and I understand the homeowner's mentality. They prefer to snap their fingers and the whole project is finished, and unfortunately you have to go through the various steps, and so as part of that, just as it's important to have a strong foundation in a home, you have to put the time in early on to make sure that your personalities match up with your builder. When my wife and I built our home 16 years ago, this is kind of a weird thing, but I knew that there was going to be times when it might, I might be frustrated, and I don't get rattled, you know, too easily, but if I did, I wanted to know that if I raised my voice to the builder that he wasn't going to, you know, hit me or something, punch me in the face. And so, you know, that was sort of my litmus test with when I was interviewing builders. And you're married to that builder for a good period of time, and you want to make sure that your personalities match. And the one thing that I admire most about builders is they're so used to there being problems that pop up, which is perfectly normal, that it's how they deal with those problems and communicating well with the homeowner and wanting to solve the problem without there being a lot of stress involved and so forth.
Yeah. And one of the things you mentioned, the personalities, and it is so important that, you know, one of the things I think that set Stono Construction apart from a lot of builders is that I mentioned earlier, we are a small company. And so, meshing of personalities is important. And a lot of times during the sales process, you're dealing with one person at some larger companies, and that personality may mesh really well, but ultimately, you know, the project manager and the people that get handed off the project that really are going to be the people that you're dealing with day to day are different, and you may not, and your personality may not mesh with them. And so we hear from our clients all the time that have had bad experiences where that's the case. And, you know, the company's got a great reputation. They built a great product. At the end, you know, the house is beautiful, but it was a kind of a painful process getting there sometimes. And so, you know, one of the things with being small is that our clients have personal interaction with me in the field and with Dan, my business partner, in the office on the kind of accounting and the billing side. And so, you know, you know what you're getting, right? This is the guy I'm going to be dealing with, and I either like him or I don't like him. And so the decision to hire is based on that. And, you know, there's not a change of guard, so to speak, that, you know, changes the whole process that you're going to go through.
Yep. That makes perfect sense. So let's talk more specifically about Stono Construction. So, you folks build new custom homes, and you also do remodeling projects and additions. Let's focus on custom home building for a second with Stono Construction.
Yeah.
Talk about what's important for a homeowner to understand about Stono Construction if a homeowner is considering hiring a builder to build a custom home.
Yeah, sure. Well, so, you know, I mentioned that the company started in 16. I've been in the building industry and building new homes and remodeling for, you know, 25 years with other companies prior to that. So, you know, we have a lot of building experience. And so we've seen over the years, you know, you gain experience, you see things that work and don't work. You see frustrations arise. And, you know, we go into the project with the goal of, you know, having a happy, satisfied customer. And so, you know, up front, you know, we stress communication. We want to make sure that, you know, the building industry as a whole can get a bad rap due to some folks out there that aren't as experienced or just, you know, have a bad process. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we have good communication, trust, transparency, and doing what you say you're going to do. And that really starts up front with, you know, the budget, right? Because that's the first thing you kind of are talking about when you're working with a prospective client is, you know, what's your budget and your timeline. And, you know, I know a lot of folks out there are reluctant to disclose their budget. I think there's a perception that maybe builders will, you know, take that budget and just, you know, use it to the max or try to, you know, milk it for whatever they can get from a profit standpoint. And, you know, really it's a need to understand, you know, is your budget realistic? You know, and it's tough. I mean, it's tough to have your finger on the pulse of what construction costs are today because, you know, as you're probably aware, you know, they've risen so much. Really since COVID, things just kind of shot up and they leveled out a little bit, but not really anything's gone down. I mean, some of the commodity market things like lumber have kind of gone back down and they fluctuate. But, you know, most of the other products are out there staying flat or continuing a small increase. And so it's hard to know what things are going to cost. So having a realistic budget and helping the builder understand what that is and being able to guide them to, okay, well, what's realistic and then what, again, kind of back to what I mentioned earlier, what are your primary goals? Let's focus on what are the must haves and then the nice to haves. And then the things that, you know, we could do without or that we could do later, right? If we don't have the budget now, but these things could be done later without, you know, having to do major rework on structure and things of that nature that are more difficult and more costly to do later. So that's really the primary thing is budget. Let's figure out where you are. Let's talk realistically about it. Let's be transparent and understand, hey, this is what our markup is. This is what the cost is and get to a point where we can hopefully be comfortable with that. And it really comes down to trust, right? And you've got to trust the builder that you're hiring. And, you know, it can be challenging to kind of overcome that, particularly with folks that have had bad experiences. So we really rely on and get most of our business from referrals. And so we really, with any new potential client that comes in, we stress, hey, talk to some of our past clients and our current clients and look at some of our current projects and get some feedback from them, because I know we can tell you something, but, you know, you should hear it from people that have actually experienced it and not just me saying it, because I know that we just met or maybe we haven't even met and you're just trying to kind of wade through all these different options out there and people telling you similar things. But, you know, you gotta not only talk the talk, you gotta walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's really important.
Right. And when it comes to the actual bids, occasionally homeowners will ask more than one builder to bid a project. And what do you say to a homeowner about the bid that comes in at the lowest price versus maybe some of the other ones?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that we tell a potential client when we know that they're bidding it out to multiple folks is, make sure you're comparing apples to apples. And sometimes that's tough because different builders have different presentations on how they present the budget to the client. And sometimes it's not as clear to be able to see, compare apples to apples. And, but you know, there are some big indicators that you can kind of, you can usually kind of go down and see, okay, well, these are way off, and then ask the question, well, why are they way off? Allowances, are one of those where, you know, you may have one bid, have a appliance allowance for 30,000. You may have one for 45, you may have one for 20. And so why are the differences there? Maybe there was a communication gap on what the expectations were from the client, and kind of the specification level for them. But maybe there was, you know, an intentional low allowance in there to kind of have a more attractive lower price. Or maybe it was just an honest error and not knowing what the pricing in today's market for those products are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's something that you really, you have to know what you're looking at. And so, allowances are one way to do that, and having a clear specification on the level of finish in the home. And, you know, depending on your architect, you know, a lot of architects provide a very detailed level of specification in their plans and construction documents, which is very helpful. If they don't, in some cases, interior designers will provide that, where they may have a level of finishes, and they may even provide allowances. And so that's very helpful, especially comparing apples to apples among multiple bidders. And if not, then, you know, the builder really needs to seek that information from the client and try to understand kind of, you know, do they want marble floors or just porcelain tile? Are there, you know, is there a lot of interior cabinetry work and, you know, wood ceiling finishes and treatments and the type of decking and exterior cladding that's on the home? And so a lot of these things can vary widely if they're not specified. You know, one builder may have a standard that they use because that's kind of the level they operate typically. And whereas another builder may have a different level that they operate at, and not that one's right or wrong, but you can end up with a very different product depending on what that builder may have included in their price, and therefore obviously a different price too. So understanding that is important.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I've heard stories about the homeowner went with the lowest bidder, and turns out there was only, you know, whatever, $10,000 in their lighting allowance budget. And that's one of the reasons why the bid came in so low, just as you're saying. And, you know, there's many light fixtures out there that you can spend $10,000 on one light fixture. And
right.
All of a sudden the homeowner is very disappointed. They're trying to build their dream home, and now they're being asked to compromise and sacrifice in their
right.
In their view, going with lesser products and so forth. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very important, and I would imagine most not every builder has the same sort of software so that it can be a challenge comparing apples to apples there. And then of course you always get the inevitable, what's your cost per square foot? And,
yes, and yeah. That's the tricky one.
That's almost impossible to answer. Because, you know, if you add an elevator or a metal roof or a swimming pool, it can really throw off the cost per square foot. And so what's the answer? How should a homeowner proceed when it comes to, you know, just comparing bids making sure that they're going with the right builder.
Yeah, I think you know, getting the bids, kind of comparing them and making notes on, okay, well, you know, why is builder A's framing cost more, substantially more than, you know, builder B or C, and kind of going by and making some notes on you know, some discrepancies and differences in the pricing, and then, you know, and then talking to the builders about it. Okay, well, you know, let me know, why is your price in this category higher? You know, what did you include? If it's not clearly defined in the bid package, you know, what is it? And, you know, and then let's talk about, you know, some of the clients that you've worked with in the past and how that aligned. You know, did they come in on budget? Was, you know, ultimately did they do what they said they were going to do, or did you get, you know, a bunch of change orders and your budget ended up being a lot more? And so some of that kind of due diligence is important, and to not just go, oh, well, yeah, this guy said that he could build it in half the time and his price is, you know, half the price or, you know, significantly lower. And, you know, maybe that's not the best decision. Let's not just go with that guy. And most people, smart consumers are aware of that. And if that's not their priority to get the cheapest price, then they're usually, you know, they've heard from their friends and family of horror stories where that's that what was presented wasn't actually what they got at the end. And so there's a lot of people that are leery of that. And so I think the consumers are pretty smart out there. They, you know, they do talk to their friends and neighbors and family, and they do, you know, use the internet to kind of see what the market's saying about certain companies. And you know, a lot of people that are kind of building at the level that we're building, you know, most of them do come from, you know, referrals from multiple builders.
Yeah.
And
the homeowners had conversations with their neighbor or their, you know, friend, and they've shared different experiences that they've had with that builder. And so
it's, exactly,
there's a level of comfort going into it. The quality of the subcontractors can also be a factor with regard
absolutely
to the bid as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's all different levels of quality contractors, subcontractors out there. And, you know, and then also it's about the management of those subcontractors as well, and on the builder side of, you know, of not overlooking poor quality and addressing it when it does happen and when mistakes happen, getting them fixed. And the level of subcontractor quality and just making sure you have a good group of subs that, you know, you've been working with for a while and that are dependable and, you know, is important to being a successful home builder for sure.
With regards to new construction versus remodeling projects, does Stono Construction use the same subcontractors, the same framers, for example?
Yes and no. We do use a lot of the same core contractors for you mentioned framing. Yes, for framing, we do. And for a lot of our mechanical, electric, plumbing, and gas, we do. Depending for some of the finishes, depending on the project scope and specification, you know, we have two trim carpenters, for example, one that's does very high-end custom work, more custom work. So if there's a lot of trim work, we may use them. You know, they're more expensive, right? They charge more for what they do. And not that our other trim carpenter doesn't do very good work, but, But you know, there's some subtle differences in there, and it's really kind of the price point that you're in, right? If you're, you know, you may be doing just a master suite edition, and we may not use our most expensive trim carpenter for that. And so, you know, that's an example of maybe where we have some different options. Cabinetry is another one. We have a custom cabinet builder that we use, and he's a little more expensive than the others. And sometimes we use that guy because the nature of the project is very custom, in that, you know, we're doing cabinets that have to fit into a tight space, particularly on remodeling jobs where it's an existing space and it has to go in there. There's not another inch or two that we can squeeze out of it. Whereas in new construction, you know, it might be planned for a cabinet run that kind of matches up with the typical cabinet increments of 3 inches, right? And so we have the custom guy, we have a guy that, and they're very nice cabinets made by, you know, a big manufacturing company, and they have a lot of the nice great features that custom cabinets have, but the box sizes are predetermined. So, you know, if you have a cabinet that needs to fit into a, you know, an 11 inch space, then, you know, having a box that only goes in to 9 and 12 isn't going to work, mm-hmm. unless you have a lot of fillers on one side. And so, you know, those are other things where we may use a different subcontractor depending on the project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell our listeners about what types of remodel projects that Stone Oak Construction can help them with.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, I mentioned earlier, we really do large remodeling projects. So if it's kind of a whole house remodel or a large portion of a house remodel or an addition that kind of remodels, I mean, we get a lot of projects where we're doing a big addition on the back. And so the kitchen's getting relocated and there's a big kitchen extension and we're adding, you know, maybe some bedrooms and bathrooms and a powder room and a mud room, laundry room. Those sorts of rooms kind of seem to be popular nowadays with the way that most families live. And so we see a lot of that. You know, we also do historic renovations downtown in particular, on homes that are hundreds of years old. And so we, you know, we have experience doing that and kind of with there's some different craftsmen that you use for that. And, you know, in plaster, for example, right, there's a lot of plaster downtown and plaster molds and a lot of custom cabinetry and trim work that, you know, really requires someone who is able to do that specific work, match up trim profiles that are 100, 200 years old to match up with new wood, right? And so there's some different skill sets, both on our supplier side and on our install side.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So we're talking about large additions, kitchen and bath remodels, master suite additions and remodels.
Yep.
Those are the type of would you take on a deck project, for example, or would that be kind of too small?
No, we wouldn't do just a deck. You know, if someone was just building a deck on their existing home, no, that's not a project we would do. You know, being a small company, we have to kind of we have to be very good at using the resources we have. And so, you know, not only from just the size of the project, but project location too, right? And so, you know, the Charleston kind of metropolitan area has been growing tremendously. And so it keeps growing and will continue to grow. And so, you know, we really focus on the larger projects that are kind of in the kind of core Charleston, kind of the downtown peninsula, inner Mount Pleasant, I'll call it kind of the old village, old Mount Pleasant, kind of Hobcall areas. West Ashley, the inner kind of parts of West Ashley, James Island, Johns Island. We've at times done a lot of work on Wadmalaw. We've done some work on Kiowa as well. But geography is important to us because, you know, we've got to manage it effectively and we've got to be there, you know, every day and making sure that things are happening. So, you know, having to run from Kiowa to, you know, Dunes West, you know, isn't really feasible. I mean, that's a couple hour commitment just to go from one job to the other if you're in both those locations at the same time.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, how can folks get more information about Stono Construction?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got a website, of course, stonoconstruction.com, that has a lot of information on it. Our social media is also very active. So Instagram is a great place to catch up on what we're doing kind of currently. You know, we've got a lot of information about prior projects on our website, but the social media is kind of updated, you know, several times a week. So there's a lot of stuff on current projects and just more regular updates there. So those are the best places to start. And from there, you know, we can get connected on the phone and meet up, you know, at your home, at your property, and figure out how we can help.
All right. That's great. Well, we've been talking with John Goodwin with Stono Construction, and you can always find Stono Construction within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
And now we're talking with Brian Wilkinson with Art of Drawers. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great, Sam. How are you doing today?
Just fine. Thank you. Brian, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Art of Drawers.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. And Art of Drawers, Charleston here, we are a new company to the area. And what we do is we retrofit slides and drawers into existing spaces of homes. What we like to say is we take areas that you're frustrated with in your home and turn them more into areas of joy for you.
Gotcha. And what areas of the home can Art of Drawers help a homeowner with?
Typically, you'll see us in spaces in the kitchen, bathrooms, even laundry rooms. Also, there's furniture pieces that you may have, like antique furniture pieces, or just some large furniture pieces that we can use to retrofit some drawer systems in to kind of customize that space for you, as well as built-ins. So you have some built-ins in the home for office space or in the living space that we can go into those as well and retrofit drawer systems that to just make the area just function a lot better, a lot smoother.
Gotcha. And this is for homeowners that they have existing cabinetry. Maybe they have it's not operating the way they would like it to. It might be a little bit dated. And, you know, for people that are used to getting down on their hands and knees to maybe pull out that mixer that is tucked in a bottom cabinet and just because you only use it a couple times a year or something like that. And you pull that out and then you suddenly discover, oh, I forgot about this and this and this. And with a scenario like that, how would Art of Drawers help a homeowner?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so all these cabinet spaces are very similar. You'll see the half shelf that's built into the cabinet space that's below the countertop. Mm-hmm. And with that half shelf, we can eliminate that, put in a drawer system so that you can get to the back of that half shelf, as also get to the back of the bottom of the space as well inside the cabinet. So you're going to bring everything that is in the darkness to light, so to speak. And also we're using these undermount rails that really hold a tremendous amount of weight. So you speak of the mixers, the stand mixers, that they weigh a lot, and these drawer systems can handle it, you know, easily with the ability to hold up to 125 pounds. And we even have options that go up to 150 pounds. There are some unique solutions for stand mixers in general that would allow you to, at the press of a button, rise that mixer up from the bottom of the cabinet to the counter height so that you could utilize it a little easier. You know, we see some of the aging demographic that just cannot use the space like they used to, and they're losing some of that independence of these items in the kitchen that they're, you know, they love to use or cook or bake, and we're able to kind of give that back to them. We're give that independence back to homeowners to be able to use these you know, heavy items that were, you know, seemed like they had to always ask somebody to come out and help them out, or, you know, can you get the mixer out of the cupboard for me so I can bake, you know, something for the grandkids or something like that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. How far do the pull-out drawers extend?
So yeah, full extension, right? You're getting the whole drawer system outside of the cabinet space to have access to everything in there. And another unique solution for these drawers that come, we offer the pin dividers that will go ahead and pre-drill all of the spots where you could potentially put dividers within the drawer. And by doing that, it gives you the flexibility to say, hey, I want to use this for storing lids for now, or let's say pans, you want to stand them upright. You can throw these dividers in there, and then later you want to maybe use casserole dishes for it. So you can pull those dividers out, set your casserole dishes in, and still have the same utility out of that space for many products.
Very nice. Very nice. A lot of folks that Art of Drawers will appeal to are those that they don't want to replace their cabinets because maybe the expense, new cabinetry can be very expensive, and it can be you know, fairly time consuming to have to demo the kitchen area or and to take all those cabinets out and then putting in new cabinets. And so this is sort of a very nice shortcut to that process, because a lot of times people, do you have to have a certain, should the cabinet boxes be a certain quality in order for Art of Drawers to come in and put the pullout shelves in there?
No, that is the beauty of it all, is that you get to keep that existing space and keep your costs a little bit lower with the project. We can retrofit in just about any kitchen cabinet space, or, you know, the built-in spaces. So you wouldn't necessarily have to upgrade any of those pieces of the home. And like myself, I moved into a neighborhood that was built by one of the national builders, and the kitchen space was, you know, the cookie cutter kitchen that you would get and you would expect in some of these homes, where I'm happy with the space, but the function of the actual cabinets just wasn't the greatest. And whenever, you know, we started thinking about ways to make that function a little bit better, that's when the Art of Drawers really made sense to us. For using the product, because it just appealed to us. And then also we wanted to buy into this brand because we believed in it so much. And not only do we believe in the products, but we loved it and we wanted it in our space. So
How and one of the other reasons someone would find Art of Drawers appealing is the fact that you know, you're going to be, you're not going to have the time involved with demoing the kitchen, as I mentioned before. How long does it take for Art of Drawers to talk about the process a little bit?
Yeah, the process would start with a free consultation. We have a design team here in Charleston that we're building out that would come into your home and really get to know the space and how you wanted to use it and make it flow. These consultations are usually 90 minutes to a couple of hours. We're going to build out the space so that, you know, you get a lot of say in all these customizable pieces that we have for you. Then once we kind of commit to the project, generally we'll have about 4 to 6 weeks in between when the initial design consultation to installation. And most of the installations that we're going to do, typically 1 to 2 days max. So the project is, you know, it's quick and easy and not a whole lot of disruption for the homeowner.
So you'd consider the art of drawers process to be pretty low impact for the homeowner then?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's good. How did that name come about, Art of Drawers?
You know, that's a great question. And whenever I started thinking about the name in itself, it reminded me of the book Art of War, right?
Yeah.
Art of War. It's the art of war kind of against the organization of your home and the flow and the function of your space. And it's that constant battle to stay organized. And kind of what the Art of Drawers is going to do is it's going to allow you to keep the space organized and have specific spots for where you're going to store things and how you're going to keep the spaces organized, especially when it comes to a pantry, right? The pantry that I got when I bought my home had 4 shelves in it, the wire racks, and the spacing was just kind of even between all 4 of these shelving. We talk about the pantry being 7 shelves kind of is a starting point for us, and we'll go in and kind of figure out what heights different things can be in a pantry space. Most of the items that you purchase from a grocery store are going to be standard heights, and we try to get the heights in the pantry to match the standard heights of things that you purchase at the store. And getting these drawer systems in place will almost force you to stay organized whenever you're stocking the groceries back in, because the cans are only going to fit in a certain spot. Or maybe the cereal boxes would only go on one shelf. And maybe the heavier items are going to be in that bottom drawer with the kind of push out drawer system that is easy to get to.
To me, the name sort of sounds like the person that started Art of Drawers. They probably look at your product and say, "Oh, this is a beautiful piece of art," and very, very proud of the way it looks. And I'm sure the pullout shelves. What are the pullout shelves made of, by the way?
So we use nothing but the top quality products in everything that we do. Right, the all of the drawer systems are going to be solid hardwoods. We have over 10 varieties and species of hardwoods that you can choose from to, you know, either match the space that you want or just a look that you're going for within the kitchen. So that the drawers are actually finished with dovetail joints.
Nice.
For not only the strength and stability of it, but I just think aesthetically it just looks better.
Yeah.
The rail systems, all the rail systems we're going to put in are under mount. So you're not going to see that rail on the side of the drawer when you pull it out. And again, like aesthetically, it's just going to look better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about how you would carry a box, you wouldn't hold it from the side. You would probably hold a box from the bottom and carry it that way to make it so it's well supported. Same philosophy is kind of going into that rail system. We want it under mount. We want to be able to hold a tremendous amount of weight in there and function over the lifetime.
Nice. And does the homeowner have to like have an idea of exactly what they want, or will the design professional from Art of Drawers be able to make suggestions and maybe even reveal a few things that the homeowner never even thought about?
So we love it when a homeowner has an idea or they've seen a picture on Pinterest and they're like, "Hey, this is exactly what I want." Love that. But also, you know, we're coming across customers that maybe don't know what the options are for some of these spaces. And that's where these design professionals come in. And they can go through numerous options and ideas of how to just create a more functional space, as well as just designing unique pieces where we need to. There's custom builds that we do all the time. for instance, under a kitchen cabinet, under the sink in the kitchen, right? Like, it's just a mess down there.
Yeah, true.
Typically, there's pipes everywhere. You've got garbage disposal, just a lot of things going on. And we can really come in and do these custom build outs in that space to just utilize it and make it function and flow so much better. And you'll have access to everything, and you won't be reaching behind the garbage disposal for the stack of sponges or something that you've been looking for the past 2 years.
Right, right. Well, if anybody is like me, you sometimes get used to, you have something dysfunctional in your house and you just get used to suffering. And that's the way it is. So if you're sick of suffering, if you're sick of getting down your hands and knees to try to get the items out of those bottom cabinets in the way back, the Art of Drawers is a great option. And how can folks get in touch with Art of Drawers?
Well, Tim, before I go into how to contact us, there's a couple of things I just wanted to mention. And one is, we offer a lifetime warranty. As long as you own your home, we're going to be there to fix, repair, or make sure that your pieces are functioning the way they were the first day we installed them.
Nice.
And the second thing I like to mention, which is, one thing that really resonated with me, because typically when people are making an investment in their home or a purchase in general, a lot of things that keep us from actually moving forward and pulling the trigger on some of these things is kind of the fear of regret, right? You don't want to have that buyer's remorse or regret doing something. And we're going to eliminate that. We're going to say, hey, we're 100% elation guarantee, right? We're going to stand behind the build out that we're going to do when we come to the home. And we're going to offer you this elation guarantee that gives you 3 days to kind of say, hey, this is exactly what I want, or this is not functioning the way I imagined it would. And if it doesn't meet your expectations of what you wanted, we'll come in, we'll take it back out, we'll refund your money.
Wow.
So that is that one really resonated with me whenever, we were thinking about this this business and this business venture.
Yeah. Well, that takes a lot of confidence to be able to put that out to a homeowner.
Yeah, 100%. How to get a hold of us? You can find us at artofdrawers.com. You can also find us Art of Drawers Charleston at Instagram. Then the local number, 843-894-2138. You can call that number and book your free consultation. Or visit theartofdrawers.com. You can book free consultations online as well.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Brian Wilkinson with Art of Drawers, and you can always find Art of Drawers within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate your time.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.